We are live at the HRC show, and we have got our beautiful stage that we've designed. Yeah. Our stand is over there. Yeah, so I'm Hayley Roy.
I'm Scarlett Mallet.
And I'm Hannah Denny.
And we work at Harp Design. Mm-hmm. I'm a commercial interior designer and project manager.
I am also a commercial interior designer and a project manager.
And I am executive assistant designer and project manager.
We've all been designing restaurants for years, haven't we? I've been designing restaurants for 20 years, and you guys have all got experience as well. And we were just talking about it, weren't we? We were saying that one of the things that we bring is that we all have experience in hospitality as well. And that's such a really important thing as a designer.
It's a key element.
I've worked with loads of interior designers who've not had that experience, and they just don't get it. Mm. So it's one of the things that we bring as a team, isn't it?
Yeah. So what kind of hospitality experience have you had, Hayley?
Well, all of my family have worked in hospitality at one point or another. My mum's a chef, my sister's a chef, my grandparents and my auntie have run pubs. Okay. So I've kind of been brought up in the industry, really, and always being a waitress somewhere. Mm. And then I worked on super yachts.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, how about you, Scarlett?
I have worked in a number of bars and restaurants that were quite like a small business. Like, there was only, for instance, one of them in a little village. And I feel like working in that restaurant gave me so much knowledge because it was literally only had about 10 tables. Mm. You have got to be like on it all the time and really fast at what you do. So working in that industry, and especially in a really small business, I feel like gave me so much experience. Mm. What about you, Hannah?
So I used to be a wedding and events planner. So we worked in lots of different venues and marquees and hotels and everything. Mm. So I feel like I have got the knowledge when it comes to actually the running of things and what works and what doesn't. So then furniture manufacturing, and then here we are today. Mm. So,
and I've got a business degree, and I've always run a business, and I love the whole return on investment aspect of the design. So, you know, don't specify like really expensive stuff because you're never going to pay for it, and the whole idea of running a restaurant is to run a business and make money, so I love it. So
fun fact
is our fun fact of the day: the National Restaurant Association estimates a 20% success rate for all restaurants. About 60% of restaurants fail in their first year of operation, and 80% fail within 5 years. That's a huge amount.
I feel like working as an interior designer and working in this industry, I feel like that isn't too surprising for me. Mm. I feel like, I mean, especially imagine that percent rate when COVID came about. Like,
oh God, I mean, a lot of people went busting COVID, didn't they? I think a lot of people think it's really easy. It's not. It's really hard work, and you've just got to have it with people
and
as
you've got to get it right.
And the staff aspect of it is really difficult because you know there's loads of staff issues with the hospitality industry at the moment, and getting and keeping the right staff, and there's so many aspects to it. But what we're trying to do today is we're trying to change that. We want
to help
more restaurants succeed. So what we're going to do is we're going to teach you how to design a restaurant and some of the secrets that we can share with you. So, restaurant, brand, and interior design. One of the things that we do as a business is we do brand workshops, brand identity workshops. And what we do is we work with startup businesses, and we work with businesses that
have already got a brand.
Have already got a brand, and they're rebranding, and they're updating, and they're tweaking. So what we do is we go through a design a process of making sure that whatever brand that you've got speaks to the end user. It's got purpose, it's got personality, it's fun, people like it, people are attracted to it. And then what we do when we go through the interior design process is we put all of that brand all the way through the design. So it speaks to the client at every single moment. The end user is getting all these little moments of truth where everything links back to the brand. Making sure that you get all those little moments of truth is really, really important. And I think there's a lot of people who don't get that right, and I think that's where some of those figures are coming from, because people just don't think about it. They just kind of go, oh, I think I'm going to just like serve food and great service. And then if people are sitting on a really uncomfortable seat all night...
And it's cold, or the decor's like too dull and it suppresses you.
Or there's a light in your face, you know?
There's so much that goes into designing and running a restaurant. I mean, for instance, we are sitting... Like Hannah was just saying, talking about the bright light, we're sitting on the stage that we have designed, which is all based around neurodiversity. But I feel like the elements of neurodiversity can be added to
anywhere.
I mean, the lighting we've used is a low, timid, warm light, so it doesn't kind of have that bright white light affecting your eyes that is too in your face. I mean... So it makes you feel more calmer in the interior, and I feel like you don't just apply it to places where people struggle. It can be applied to anywhere and also make it such a welcoming and warm, comforting environment.
Absolutely, yeah. One of the things about brand is that kind of tying it all back. You must tie it all back to that brand. Yesterday, I was saying that actually, as a design practice, we don't have a personality in terms of... We don't have a style.
No.
A lot of interior designers have got this style, and you go and people choose that designer because they want that style. We are not like that. If you look on our website, we've got like all different projects from all different like brands and you know, different people doing different things. And what we do, and I said to this guy yesterday, I'm a massive people pleaser.
Yeah.
I just want my client to be really happy.
Yeah.
And I'm really bad at designing for myself because I have no idea what my style is. I like attach myself to a brand or to a person, and I like literally try and make everything tie back to that.
I feel like we're like chameleons.
Yeah,
and the more that we kind of hang out with someone and spend time with them and like meetings and stuff, we almost like merge into like a part of them.
Yeah, yeah.
It's literally we get to know them. We hang out with them so much that we develop their personality and what they want. But it's like Hayley was saying, though, me personally, I cannot design my own house for me.
No.
Like, I just can't. I know.
It's difficult, isn't it?
It's so difficult because it's actually looking at and thinking about what you actually want. I know. We couldn't even
We ended up with white, didn't we? White.
Which is so crazy for us, like, because we're interior designers.
Constantly doing it.
You're constantly doing it and you cannot decide.
What's the first secret then? What are we giving away?
I think if you're designing a restaurant, you start off with sitting down and really analysing what you're doing. Who's your market? What are the words that describe your brand?
Yeah.
Like, have you got a logo? If you have, does that logo really speak to the people?
Yeah.
Or if that name really speak to the people that you're going to be serving?
Yeah.
Do you want that logo as like a really big feature throughout the interior, or do you want it kind of as a like a footnote in a way?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it might be the interior speaking, but you start off really analysing and you ask yourself a lot of questions. Who are we? To be or not to be? That is the question. So you write down a list of lots of words, who you are, what you want to be. Then you write down another list of all the words you do not want to be, and you make sure that everything you do, it falls into the to be category.
Yeah.
And what happens is that creates a business plan. That is, who are we? What are we going to do? You just like have to write down lots of words, and it will tell you what kind of uniform to have, what kind of staff training you need. It's going to do everything.
Sometimes when you've been doing the brand workshops that you do that list, and that to-do list sometimes gets the name of the business as well.
We did one in Stratford recently where I mean everyone that we do it does this, where you just have this light bulb moment in the middle of the brand workshop. You're like, yes, that's it if you're looking for a logo or a name of a restaurant. And I've done it myself. I started up a business with Cheryl when she did Rebel Designs. And we sat down and did the branding workshop with a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
And it was just so good. And you always come out of that branding workshop really pumped
because
you've got that brand and you know who you are when you're walking out the door. It's fantastic. So it's really, really important to start there. So that's the first secret. Moments of truth. develop those moments of truth. those moments, I got this expression from a book that was written by Starbucks called The Starbucks Experience. And if anyone's got a hospitality business, I would urge you to read this book. It's brilliant. Moments of truth are those little moments that that customer has when they walk through the door in your restaurant, from how they're greeted to what the fabric comfort, feels the like feel, on their furniture, to what flooring feels like under their feet,
the smells,
what it smells like the whole experience,
the ambiance,
that the ambiance of all of that. But it's moments of truth, and it's all about creating those moments of truth. You can make those moments of truth happen if you're owning a restaurant. All you have to do is focus on that to get every single moment that that person is in your restaurant to really buy into what you're doing, and it all has to link back again to the brand.
I feel like them moments of truth are really important as well for someone to remember the restaurant, for them to, for instance, have a specific food or go into a different place and go, this feels, or like the atmosphere or the smell is exactly like that place. It's making your restaurant be known and like making people remember it. I feel like it's such a key element.
A lot of people will not know what it is, but it
that
won't
brings them
if
back.
Something's wrong, it won't feel right.
Yeah,
it might be the we'll walk into a restaurant and we can see it, you know, we know what the recipe is to build it, but when most people will just go,
the food was okay,
it just doesn't feel right, you know. And that's why, it's because something isn't lining with the brand.
It's really important about branding and getting to know someone. But also, when we were going on about how to develop your brand and how to make that flow throughout your restaurant, one thing that we do, all of us as a team as well, is we get to know our client. And we always say that we really enjoy negative feedback, because if
you're like,
be brutally honest.
Brutal.
I love it. Reject me, I love it.
Yeah. It's like when I meet a client and I'm showing them some ideas, if you don't like that, don't agree with me.
Yeah.
You need to tell me, otherwise this is not gonna feel like your brand. Mm. This is not gonna feel like your place. Mm-hmm. And that
Yeah, honesty is such a main, such a
and
big part of it.
People will be
it?
Able to feel that. Mm. Do you get what I mean? Mm. People will feel that you do not have that enjoyment of the restaurant because it's not the outcome that you wanted.
You need to pick holes in it.
Yeah.
And this is the same in any business. You need to pick holes in what you're doing, because if you don't, someone else will.
Yeah.
You know. So what's wrong with it? Why isn't it quite right? What is it about it that doesn't feel right? Mm. You know. But the key design elements are lighting, furniture, colour, flooring, and compliance. Mm. So, with lighting, we've talked about lighting and how
it makes you feel.
If you've got, for me, when I design lighting in a restaurant, I over-engineer it. In a restaurant, it needs to be clean, so you have to have light so you can clean. Mm. So you can get in all those nooks and crannies and make sure it's right. You also have to create ambience. Ambiance. That sounds very posh. Ambiance.
Ah, bonjour.
but you do. You have to create that ambience. Ambience. Yeah. It is ambience, not ambiance. I was being French, wasn't I?
Yeah, it's because I said it earlier. Like that.
So you've got to create it, and you've got to use a lot of different types of light to do that. You've got to make sure that people can see what they're eating, but you've also got to have it so it's warm.
Yeah.
And please, unless you don't want people to stay very long in your restaurant, don't put white light in there and daylight. That's for an office, so you can see clearly. Yes, you can put white light and daylight in there if you're going to turn it off during service.
Yeah.
Because you can use it for cleaning. Ability to change.
That's what is important, is the ability to change the lighting.
Yes, I have them in dimmers.
Yeah, so for instance, we designed a restaurant. I'm not too sure if they went for this in the end, but me and Hayley worked together to redesign a restaurant in our local town, which is called North Hill Noodle Bar. And we said for them, have that warm, neutral lighting that everyone loves when they're eating. But also, you can have that dimmer and that switch that changes to white lighting for when you're cleaning. Mm. It's having that balance. Mm. I mean, you don't always have to have that bright white lighting, but I mean, if you have the budget for it, it's such a good element to make sure that
you can buy,
everything is...
You can buy spotlights that go from cold to warm now, so you don't have to have two lots of lighting.
No.
You can have one lot of lighting that you just turn up. We have a supplier we work with called IBL Lighting, who have actually sponsored the stage for the show and us.
Hi, Charlie.
And
hi, Charlie.
And they are amazing. And we have worked with them so many times. They just have the best, we have the best outcome with them when it comes to lighting.
Indeed. Furniture has got to be comfortable or not. Mm. If you don't want people to stay very long, North Hill Noodle Bar, they don't want people to stay. They want to turn their tables. Yeah. And they do. They turn their tables five or six times. People really go quick. In there for a quick dinner before the theatre, whatever it is. Have hard seats. Pizza Express do this, so they can turn the tables three or four times in the evening. So
it's what it's the outcome of what you want for your business.
Yeah, make if you're looking for somebody to stay all night, make those chairs really comfortable. Make the tables bigger, you know, so it's lovely.
Yeah.
Also, I think in regards to furniture as well, it's the layout of it and how it works for your staff to be able to get around.
Yeah.
If tables are too tightly packed together and you've got a waiter's like bottom in your face when you're trying to sit there and have a meal with your friend or your partner or whoever,
it's not
a nice experience. So the layout and furniture comes as one. I think
that's something that's really interesting, because everyone has different elements of design that they don't enjoy when going to a restaurant or when going out. For me, one place that I just don't like the layout completely is Wagamama. I don't like that seating where you are so close to the next person. Like, I always think, like, somehow maybe add a screen or have that separate table. I don't want to be right next to someone in their face.
You don't know. Yeah.
But you know the noodle bar is actually tighter than Wagamama's, but the way that they do it is with light.
Mm. It's with light,
because
that's what I mean.
They bring the light really low and your light is here.
On your table.
Yeah. On your table, next to you, sorry, or for the people who are listening, but you're kind of going into like a little triangle of light. So you don't feel like you're really close to the person next to you. So it's really clever design that makes it feel better than that. And screens are brilliant.
Yeah.
Packs people in. But you can put two people next to each other and a screen in the
middle. And they could be like this,
Yeah, and they're literally touching. They're right next to each other, and they don't know they're there because there's a screen there. So.
But also, what North Hill Noodle Bar done is, instead of having that long seating...
Like Harry Potter style seating.
Yeah, they literally just broke it up into little elements. It was still just as close, but you had that breakage where you felt that gap. You felt away from them people, and I feel like that is so important. It's like such a small detail but can make the biggest difference
definitely. Colour, look into the psychology of colour when you're looking at doing your
LRVs
branding
so
and
important.
All your colours, yeah, absolutely. LRVs, it comes under compliance as well, so we've got another podcast on LRVs with Dawn Scott from Dulux, which was really informative. But it's just about making sure that anyone who's visually impaired can navigate. So to do that, you have to have floors and walls and ceilings that are contrasted accordingly.
Yeah.
And the LRV podcast can educate a bit more about that one. I'm not going to go into it now. But that kind of thing is really, really important. But also the psychology of colour around your brand. So you might have a brand that's a certain colour, but also but your interior is really important as well. So building your brand, so you've got those secondary colours as well. So you might have a green logo, but you might have blue, orange and yellow in the secondary colours.
You don't have to use that logo as your colours everywhere, do you?
And make those rules for yourself in everything you do, so marketing and everything. We're going to get kicked off here in about 8 minutes, so we need to fasten up a bit. And compliance, you know, we've got building control now, the Building Safety Act has come in recently, so that's all a bit of a problem.
One thing that whenever I say to someone, I constantly get asked this question, whenever I say to someone, oh, I am an interior designer, they go,
Kate, sir,
what is the first thing you design? Have you got a base? And I'm like, I used to say that it was flooring. And then I would say, oh, no, it's the paint colours. But I actually don't think you have a base at all. I think you can start from anywhere and then just go along.